I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. It's a pretty long passage as we hear the story of the three wise men, or the magi, the kings, coming to pay homage to Jesus Christ. And we also see in this scripture about where King Herod intends to do harm. And it talks about what the wise men bring and what happens as a result of it. So let our hearts be prepared to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard of this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Well, the star of Bethlehem has shined forth. We read it there in the scriptures. That star has shined forth with a brilliant light that caught the attention of these wise men, of these magi. It caught their attention and it got them to thinking and got them to moving. It caused a response in them that they went to find out where it is from which this star was originating and what it meant by this star. You see, this brilliant star of Bethlehem has guided these magi to Jesus Christ, who has come as the light into the world, as the light into the darkness, as the Savior of all mankind. So when we think about this star, we think about how its appearance is not only a literal appearance, that there's a star in the sky, but the star, the shining star, the light of all mankind, has now been made visible. So there's a literal and a spiritual perspective of this star or this light that has come into the world. Because today, brothers and sisters, what we celebrate is the Epiphany of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Epiphany, that revelation, that shining forth, that appearance, that being made known, that manifestation. That's what Epiphany means. Our Lord, our Savior, the Savior of all mankind, has appeared and been revealed to the world. Jesus Christ, our Savior, as an incarnation of God, has come into this world as the living Word of God. As the living Word of God, God's holy Word made living all through Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate on this day, the Epiphany of our Lord. Over the Advent season, we've talked about what the birth of the Christ child would mean to us. What the birth of Jesus Christ would mean from the perspective of preparation, of the hope, the way, the joy, the light, and all of those things. And today we celebrate Jesus Christ has been made available for every person. for all mankind. Jesus Christ is no longer in that manger. Jesus Christ is no longer confined to a stable, or no longer confined to a particular dark and desolate place, but Jesus Christ has been revealed as the light for all mankind. So then what is it that we are to do? If our Savior has been revealed to us, what is it then that we are to do? We see what the wise men done. I mean, think about it. They were, those wise men, those magi, they were empowered or motivated, if you will, to come from far off lands. And we know it was from far off lands because they never would have went to Herod first if they were anywhere close to where all of this was going on. So they came from far off lands because of a star that they saw in the sky. And there was something about that star that attracted them and said, we have to go to this place. So they followed that star. They followed their heart. They followed that light to the place where Jesus Christ, our Savior, lay. Where Jesus Christ, our Savior, was with His mother Mary. And when they got there, we see what the Scripture says. The Scripture says they rejoiced when they found the place from which the star had stopped. And then when they went in and found Mary and Jesus together, what did they do? They dropped to their knees. They dropped to their knees and they paid homage, or they prayed. And then they gave Him gifts. And not just any gifts, they gave Him gifts that were very symbolic. They gave Him their best. They opened their treasure chest. Think about it. They opened their treasure chest. So what is it that's in a treasure chest? It's the things that you hold valuable. They opened their treasure chest and offered gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. They gave their very best when they encountered Jesus Christ, our Lord. They were overwhelmed with joy. They dropped to their knees. They gave thanks. They paid homage. They prayed and they offered their best when Jesus Christ was revealed to them. So let me ask you. I want to ask you. Where has God been revealed to you through Jesus Christ our Lord? Where has God been revealed to you, maybe in some bad situation? Or some place where we know that it can only be God and we've got to give the honor and glory and the credit to Him? Or maybe some place where we've had to be picked up. Or maybe some place where, well, we know, there's no doubt that God was with us and got it through us. So where has God been revealed? Where has Jesus Christ revealed God to you? As we begin a new year, one of the things that we always tend to do, and rightfully so, is we think back over the last year. Meyer did a wonderful job this year sharing what we were thankful for over the past year, and put something out that said the people that have been around us, the places where God has been there, our friends, our family, those are the things for which we are thankful. But what else are we thankful for? Where are those blessings we've received that perhaps we've not acknowledged? What is it that we're really thankful for, and who is it that we're thanking? Now, we could be looking back at the past year and saying, you know what? I'm ready for 2013. Good riddance. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Go away. Don't ever come back. Looking forward to a better year with 2014. So maybe we're not too thankful. But brothers and sisters, I think that I'd tell you this morning is that no matter what our year was like in 2013, that we can still be thankful for all of it. No matter what our year was like in 2013, we can still be thankful for all of it. And you're probably looking at me saying, you're crazy because you know what I've dealt with in this past year. But what I also tell you is that we can be thankful because Jesus Christ, our Savior, has come to this earth. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to take on our sin, that we would no longer have to worry about life or death, but that we would be forgiven and have a promise of an eternal glory in a place of peace. And it's no secret. We know that it's not a secret. We celebrate it over Christmas. It's no secret. Jesus Christ came to die for you, to die for me, to die for our sin. He came to do these things that we would have a promise of a great future. It's not a secret, but then why is it that we act like it? Why do we act like it's a secret? Whenever we're out in public and somebody starts talking about the Bible, then all of a sudden we start talking like this. Or if somebody leaves that door open, maybe for you to invite them to church, or they say something that you're not particularly fond of, then you're afraid to talk to them about going to church, or do they know Jesus Christ. We're afraid to take those chances. Even though we know that our God was revealed to us through Jesus Christ our Savior, we're afraid to tell our story. We're afraid to tell our story. We're afraid to talk about our salvation. We're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings or get labeled as that religious fanatic. We're too shy because we think, well, I don't know enough about the Bible to talk about it. I'm afraid that if I mention a piece of Scripture here, then somebody's going to ask me another question that I can't answer. Well, I'll tell you, I'm still worried about that. I'm a preacher. I'm afraid you're going to ask me something I don't know. But you know what? I do have the answer. I'm going to say, I can't recall where it is, but it's right here. Why don't you read it and figure it out? Because I don't hold all the answers. I don't know the answers. The disciples didn't know all the answers. And all of us are disciples of Christ. We don't have all the answers, but we know who does. And we know where those answers are. So the thing that I share with you this morning is that it's time to get excited. It's time to get excited, to be bold, to be happy, to be joyful, because we have a Savior that came and lived and died for us. And that we don't have to worry anymore about our future if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now this past Sunday I would have thought last Sunday was Epiphany Sunday where my family was at. We went and visited a missionary Baptist church on the side of a mountain in Allegheny County out in the middle of nowhere with some friends that had invited us up there. And I would have thought that it was Epiphany Sunday with the way that we were literally going and telling it on the mountain. It was a very spiritual time. I sat back, touched by what I heard, felt the Holy Spirit. And I think I finally connected to that hymn number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Jesus Christ our Savior is born. Because brothers and sisters, they were telling it. They were telling it. The testimonies I heard, the witnesses that were shared, and every person, and what got me is that every person that day said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. So whenever they had prayer time, and then whenever they were touched by something in the service, they said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Above all else. So I want to go back to what I just shared. What is it that we're thankful for in this past year? We can be thankful that Jesus Christ, our Savior, saved you, and He saved me, and He saved all mankind. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Thank you, Almighty God, for sending your Son to save a sinner like me. So where is it that we're thankful? Where have we seen God at work in our past? Where have we lived that story out? Where's that story in our heart that we need to tell, and that light of Jesus Christ that has touched us that we unfortunately sometimes try to hide under a bushel? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm not going to let anybody put it out. I'm not going to let anybody take it away from me, because Jesus Christ put that light into my heart and I don't want that light to go out. So let's do something about it. The children this morning did a good job setting our New Year's resolutions for us. They set our New Year's resolutions for us, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen to them. They said we're going to read the Bible more. They said we're going to pray more. And they said we're going to trust in God more. And I'm going to add one more to it. I'm going to tell more people about Jesus Christ. Those are the four things that I'm going to do this year about my spiritual resolutions. Because all the other stuff that I might say, I probably will never do. None of us ever do. Not usually. lose weight, get healthier, spend more time doing this, kick some habit, you know, all the things that we promise. But let's promise the things that matter. Let's come together, because think about it. I don't want you to raise your hand, but have you ever made a New Year's resolution about your spiritual life? Have you ever made a New Year's resolution about something you were going to do? So, I know I've not done that often, so I'm going to say this morning, let's come together and let's do it. Let's say that we're going to read the Bible more, we're going to pray more, we're going to trust in God more, and we're going to tell more people about Jesus Christ. We're going to give thanks to God. We're going to rejoice together. We're going to get excited. We're going to invite people to know Christ and invite people to church. Because brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, our Savior indeed, has been born. So let us live the life of the disciples. We're called, we're commissioned to go forth, make disciples of all peoples. They may be baptized in the name of the Lord. We're commanded to love God and to love our neighbor. We are to go forth, offer the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness. That's what we do as a church. That's what we do as Christians. And it's not hard. It's just a matter of asking somebody. It's a matter of sharing your faith with somebody. It's a matter of living a life of faith to where others will maybe ask you some questions. It's not about standing on some street corner. It's about simply letting people know that you love them, and you love them because God loved you first. And it's about loving people enough to invite them to church. It's about loving people enough to, at that right time, to interject something that piques their interest. It's about doing what we're called to do. Because, brothers and sisters, we have something to be excited over. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has been revealed to the world. So what will you do when Christ is revealed in a very special way? Will you say, oh well, just another day? Or will you be like those wise men who were overcome with joy? They dropped to their knees. They showed respect. They paid homage and they prayed. And they gave their very best. Today, we've got nothing else to worry about if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you know of somebody that has not done that, then I encourage you to offer Jesus Christ to them. Because then we don't have to worry about life or death, because no matter what, we know where we are. But I invite you to feel the Holy Spirit today in your hearts and let the light of Jesus Christ be revealed in you and through you. Let us offer Him our best. Let's open our treasure chest. In other words, what does that mean to us today? What is our treasure chest? Our treasure chest is our heart. Let us open our hearts to Christ and be obedient and serve and love. Let us be the living body of Christ, and let us offer Jesus Christ to another person. Let us be like those wise men who fell to their knees and acknowledged Jesus Christ being revealed to all mankind. Grace and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.